Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
If you have your Bible, smartphones, or tablets, and you want to follow along, we're going to be looking at that passage, Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 27. We're a little sparse here this morning. I guess everybody's traveling on Victoria Day weekend, and I hope they have a good time while they're away, but we're going to have a good time while we're here. Last week, we started into the book of Mark. Mark is the shortest book of the Gospels, and it spends a lot more time telling us about what Jesus did rather than what he says. Mark wants to show us rather than tell us who Jesus is. So this morning, I want to look at the story that we just heard. It's the story of Jesus teaching in a synagogue and casting out an impure spirit. On the surface, it looks like a simple story. But if we peel back a few layers, you're going to see that it speaks deeply into, well, how we live our lives. It'll speak into your identity if you're a follower of Jesus. It will make you more discerning on how you live your life. So let's look at the first layer of the story. So Jesus goes into this town on the shores of the Sea of Galilee called Capernaum. It's the Sabbath day. Jesus walks into the town synagogue, and he's invited to preach. And he starts to preach, and it's unlike any sermon these people have ever heard. They're used to sermons that were constantly referencing someone else. So the sermon would go like this. Here's a scripture. Here's what the Talmud says about the scripture. Here's what the rabbis say about the Talmud. Here is about what this rabbi says about that rabbi. And that would be the normal sermon that they would hear in the synagogue. And that's how they would hear about God. Well, the Talmud says this, the rabbi says this. And then Jesus steps into the synagogue, and he doesn't reference anybody else. He started to teach, and they were astounded. Verse 22, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. So when Jesus spoke about God, we seemed to know what he was talking about and who he was talking about. When he spoke about scripture, it was like he was there when they were written. And when he spoke, he didn't need the authority of other rabbis or commentators. He spoke as if he himself was the authority on what he was speaking about, who God is. Well, this amazed the people. Remember, this happens right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, so people really didn't know who Jesus was, but what they did recognize is that, well, he was different than any of the other preachers they had heard. So Jesus is in the middle of his sermon, in verse 23. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." I've never had anything like that happen while I'm preaching. But you know, I had a number of friends, especially who've had this happen. It's happened especially when you're preaching in the Global South. A friend of mine was in South America. He told me that this was so common that the church, that somebody would start yelling out in strained voices in the middle of the church service, that they had a group of a team of people who would take that person off to the side, a side room, and pray for their deliverance. My friends in Cuba tell me the same thing, that this is not all that unusual there. But I imagine the synagogue that Jesus was preaching in was much more analogous to Asbury, right? We're calm, you know, we're orderly. We don't tend to have people with demonic spirits interrupting the service. And although there have been times when I've wondered about the sound system here. You know, that's a whole other story about things interrupting, spirits interrupting the service. But hey, so what does Jesus do? Verse 25. So Jesus says to the evil spirit, "Be quiet," he said sternly. "Come out of him." And the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out with a shriek. Now, Jesus' actions don't surprise us because, well, we've heard the stories from Scripture, we've read the Scripture, and he delivered people from demonic spirits all the time. But it sure surprised the people in the synagogue. What surprises me is that they were less surprised by the evil spirit than they were with Jesus' ability to deal with the evil spirit. Verse 27. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority." And he even gives orders and impure spirits, and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. What amazes them is that he has authority not only to teach, and he says this is who God is, but he has authority to cast out spirits. I don't think we spend a whole lot of time thinking about authority these days, although we probably spent a little bit more time than we used to 10 years ago. You know, if you're reading an article on a particular subject, and one article was published by Reuters News Agency, and the other was published by BobsConspiracyJournal.com. Well, depending on your bet, you probably think that one speaks with more authority than the other, right? When wondering what you believe, well, we tend to ask ourselves, mostly subconsciously, who has the authority to speak on this issue? And in our world, it gets even more complicated. You can find an expert with a PhD that will say almost anything. We also have this seen in the South, political leaders, where they have authority to make laws and command armies, but when they speak, there seems to be a lot of lies, and so this whole idea of authority gets confusing, and what do you do with that? Well, I want to help our thinking on authority here before we get back to the Scripture. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. So when Jesus had entered Capernaum, so same town, different time, a centurion came up to him and asked for help. "Lord," he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed. He's suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For myself, I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Now, a centurion was the approximate equivalent to a captain in the Canadian Army. He commanded between 80 and 100 men in the army who followed orders because the one issuing orders had the authority to do so. What amazed Jesus is that this centurion, although he was Roman, although he was not Jewish, understood that the authority that he had to command his men and his servants on a physical realm was analogous to the authority that Jesus had to command in the spiritual realm. The centurion understood that I don't need to be present for my men to carry out my orders. And he understood that Jesus didn't need to be present for the spiritual realm's orders to be carried out. He understood the power to command that Jesus had in the spiritual realm. That's why Jesus is so amazed at his faith, and if you were to read on, you would find that his servant was indeed healed. That's real authority. You give the command, and those around you carry out the command. You have your the ability to enforce your will on those around you. For the reason why people are in prison in Canada is that the Crown has the ability to enforce its will, their incarceration, because of what they've done. That's authority. There's another kind of authority, though. There is authority that we willingly submit to. I'm under the authority of the Bishop of the Free Methodist Church of Canada. I'm also under the authority of the board here at Asbury. I don't have to be under their authority. I don't have to be a Free Methodist. I don't have to be a pastor at Asbury, but I have chosen to come under their authority and of the Free Methodist Church in Asbury. If you're employed, you are under the authority of your boss. It has limits, but you're under their authority. If you play an organized sport, then you're under the authority of the rules and the referees or the umpire. When you borrow money from a bank, they have the authority to collect a certain amount of money from you each month. In all these situations, we have willingly put ourselves under the authority of someone else. Why would we do that? Well, there are all kinds of benefits, right? You get paid to be under the authority of your boss. You get to play when you're under the authority of the sport. I get to pastor because I'm under the authority of the Free Methodist Church. You get to be a Canadian citizen if you're under the authority of Canada. Now, you understand this implicitly, but let me say this. It matters whose authority you're under. Being under a certain kind of authority can make your life a whole lot better. It can give you all kinds of advantages. But being under the wrong kind of authority, well, it can make your life just horrible. Absolutely horrible. If you work for a bad boss, or have taken out a loan at a very high interest rate, it can make your day, your life, difficult. Here's the thing. All of us are under authority. But sometimes we get to pick the authority that we're under. I think Bob Dylan had it right in his song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble or you may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil and it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Just not, another way of saying you're going to have to be under someone else's authority. The authority in your life may not be a person. It may be something else. Maybe an addiction, where everything in life is focused around managing that addiction and everything comes under the authority of that. Authority of in your life may be money. We all need money, but there is a way to live where you serve money and there's a way to live where money serves you. Choosing to submit to some kinds of authorities can give you all kinds of advantages. Choosing to submit to other kinds of authority can make your life horrible. So there's real authority, the authority to command, to make the other person do what whatever they're saying you have to do. Then there is another kind of authority. There's the authority that we willingly choose to be under. Last kind of authority is, before I bring this all together, is a conferred authority. You're given authority because of your relationship with one who has authority. If you've ever been somebody's power of attorney, then that person has given you authority to speak on their behalf to banks and other businesses and organizations. That's conferred authority. You have the authority to deal with the stuff that isn't yours because the person whose stuff it is has given you authority to do that. So come back with me to the story now. Put yourself in the place of the listeners in the synagogue. You've attended synagogue all your life. You have been under this one kind of teaching. What is God like? Well, here's what the Old Testament says, and here's what the Talmud says, and here's what the rabbi says, and another rabbi says. But this week, you go to synagogue, and, well, there's a special speaker. You go to synagogue, and you come under the teaching of Jesus. What is God like? Well, we heard Jesus' first words in the book of Mark last week, Mark chapter 1, verse 15. This is what Jesus says. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. What is God like? Well, I've got some good news for you. He's come near. He's not remote. He's not far away. He hasn't just acted in the past like you have read in the Old Testament, but he has come near. He's right here now. Jesus says, let me tell you about the kingdom of God. It's open to you. God is like a shepherd who has 100 sheep. But when he does his count, he finds there's only 99. He's missing one. So he goes out and searches. And he searches and he searches and he searches for that sheep. And when he finds it, he celebrates. He does a happy dance because, well, the lost is found. God's looking for you. Jesus says, let me tell you about the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is like finding a treasure in a field. You go and sell all you have to buy the field. You lose what you had to gain much more than you had. You've been under one kind of teaching, but now you have come under a different kind of teaching. Here's what you need to know. All of us have a theology. Theology is simply what we think about God. All of us have a theology of what God is like. Even atheists have a theology. You can have good theology or you can have bad theology, but all of us have a theology, what we believe about God. And what theology you choose to come under, what theology you use as your authority in life, can make your life good, and it can be helpful, or it can really mess you up. A.W. Tozer said that what you think about God is the most important thing about you. So you're sitting in the synagogue, and in the service you've heard Jesus speak, and he's speaking with such authority. You have some options. You know, you can stay under the authority and that you had, or you can gravitate to this new kind of teaching. Yeah, I want to follow him. I want to be under his authority and his teaching. Or you could say, I'm just the lost sheep and I want to stay lost. So you're sitting there and you're listening to Jesus speak, and all of a sudden you hear Joe explode in this strange voice. Now, you've lived in Capernaum all your life. You know Joe, right? Lives the next block over. Little bit of a strange guy, but aren't we all? So you hear him explode. He's talking this weird voice. He interrupts the church service and says, verse 24, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." That's Joe? That's not Joe. Yeah, there's this impure spirit. Jesus doesn't flinch. Jesus just says in a stern voice, verse 25, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And the impure spirit shook the man violently, and he came out of him with a shriek. You're sitting in the synagogue and thinking, Jesus teaches with authority. He has the authority to cast out demons. What am I going to do with this? Should I come under his authority or the authority of the old teaching? Should I investigate this new teaching? It seems obvious that Jesus has the power to enforce his will and make me do what he says, but it's not that kind of authority. It's an invitation. He invites us to come under his authority. It's my choice. It's my choice to whether I'm going to submit to him or not. Well, synagogue's over and your head's left spinning and you're here in this small town after all, and so you hear what's going on, and you hear that Jesus has gone over to Peter's house, and you hear that the fact that Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and after the fact you heard that Jesus had healed her. But all day long you're ruminating and your head's spinning, and what do you do with Jesus? And you hear through the grapevine that, well, something's happening over at Peter's house. And so verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. The deliverance in the synagogue wasn't just a one-off kind of thing. Jesus does amazing things that evening, and you're thinking, what do I do with Jesus? Well, Jesus must have closed down that evening service or whatever you call it, and he's probably staying at Peter's house. The next morning, the Bible records that Jesus got up while it was still dark, and he went out to pray. The disciples got up a little later, and Jesus was gone. Not only that, but people were knocking on Peter's door and saying, where's Jesus? Peter says, I don't know. Somebody else was knocking there, where's Jesus? I don't know. You go knock on Jesus' door. Where's Jesus? I don't know. Eventually, verse 36, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they explained, everyone's looking for you. Jesus doesn't do what he's expected to do. He doesn't go back to Capernaum. He says, verse 38, Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach to them there also. That is why I have come, and so that he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And you're left back in Capernaum, wondering. I've never heard someone preach with such authority. The authority is backed up by miracles. I don't have to follow Jesus, but I think I want to follow Jesus. But now he's gone. What do I do with that? He's left town. What does this mean for me? Yeah, I would have went to his church if he was around, but he's not around anymore. I have to decide when if I'm going to do what he said or not. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says, the time has come. Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Am I going to believe that God's near? Am I going to submit to what he says or not? Well, that's a question we all have to ask, right? Am I going to come under the authority of Jesus or not? He has authority, but he doesn't force me to come under his authority. He invites me, but he says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. But he gives choice. I want to lay one more scripture on your mind. Jesus spent 3 years teaching and preaching. He was crucified, resurrected. And these are some of his final words that he said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I have authority in heaven, in earth. Go and make disciples that come under my authority. I have conferred authority on you to go make disciples. You have my authority to teach them to obey what I've commanded you. And here's what I want you to know. I'm with you always. Even if you don't see me, I'm with you always. Even to the very end of the age. What that means is that Jesus is here right now. Our command is to invite people to come under his authority. If you've never come under Jesus' authority, he says, receive me into your life, choose to follow me, make all the difference in the world. If you have come under his authority, but you're thinking, I haven't really been living that way for a while, repent and believe the good news. The good news that the kingdom of God is near. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for who you are, for the fact that you give us choice. We can come under your authority. And Lord, you said you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. So when we live out under your authority, then we experience the abundant life. Forgive us, Lord, for when we haven't done that, for when we've stepped outside of your authority and we find that we get messed up a little. But Lord, I pray that you would come and you make it very clear how to walk with you given directions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.